Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, August 22nd, 2017. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break for non-members, I will be discussing the WWE Raw Show with new .net staffer April LaValle. Now, WWE Raw, the night after SummerSlam edition, is in the books, and it's a great time to introduce April LaValle. You guys have heard her once before on the All Access side with Will Pruitt. But it's been a while, and first off, April, welcome.
Thanks so much.
You can check out April's work, of course, in her section at ProWrestling.net. And April, before I forget, where can people find you on Twitter?
My Twitter handle is at I'm a Toothbrush, which is spelled I-M-A-T-O-O-F-B-R-U-S-H.
Very good. And I know you also have a website. Anything else you want to plug here before we kind of dive into Raw?
Nah, just check me out on Twitter, and I have all the links up on there.
Very good. Well, you attended this show in person, and I know you were also at MSG for the AJ Styles title change. Let's talk about the differences in two New York crowds last night compared to MSG for a little bit. Were you expecting this kind of thing with the beach balls and everything going in? What were you expecting for the night after SummerSlam?
I know that it gets a bit rowdy the night after SummerSlam, so I was expecting that, and I was kind of privy to those beach balls because I was at SummerSlam as well, and I knew as soon as Cesaro ran out into the crowd and grabbed the beach ball that beach balls are going to be a thing now, for a little while at least. I don't think I expected it to be so many beach balls. I don't even know where one buys so many beach balls, like maybe in bulk or something, but it was a lot. I guess compared to the other shows that I've been to in New York, like at MSG, and I have been to a couple shows at Barclays Center before, Barclays feels very small. I think New York crowds tend to get a little quiet and indifferent at times when they're not into the show, which in a way I think is a little... more, it's like harsher than even like booing or chanting or anything like that. So it was a bit of a roller coaster. There was definitely like ups and downs and high points and low points, but it was an interesting crowd to say the least.
It definitely was. You know, from what? Yeah, how many beach balls do you think there were? I guess to start with a rough estimate.
I would say throughout the night, probably like 10.
And did they seem to be starting from different places? It wasn't like, you know, a couple of people snuck in 10 beach balls. It was this various people, I think, ended up bringing these in?
I think there was like two or three beach ball perpetrators.
Any idea how they're getting them in? Are they just stuffing them down their pants or something? I mean, I can't imagine you're just allowed to walk into the building with a beach ball.
I think that they come with them deflated and probably like stick them in a backpack or a bag or something and blow them up throughout the night. But, you know, the whole like the end of Raw just devolved into like watching security guards run to grab a beach ball, them taking the beach ball, everyone boos the security guard, the wrestlers get mad, and then you get back into the match for 2 seconds and then it like repeated. I know that there are people out there who loved the beach balls. Definitely in the crowd last night, there were some beach ball fans, but I was not a fan of the beach balls at all.
And who do you blame for this? I've been pretty vocal about it. I'll kind of chime in on that in a second. But who's to blame? Is it the fans? Is it WWE? I mean, where does the fault lie?
Oh, gosh. I think it's probably a little bit of both. It's really interesting the way that they're handling the whole beach ball thing because I'm not sure if they show this on TV at all, but after the match, John Cena was like, no, the beach balls are great. Like, we want you guys to have a great time. Like, keep them coming, you know, which was kind of like an interesting way to do damage control. And then with them, the WWE putting it on air and posting about it on Twitter and Finn Balor making like a fake shirt, it looks like they're trying to kind of like get ahead of it and maybe make it a little less cool by being like, yeah, we're cool with the beach balls. And if people know that it's going to not piss people off, they're not going to do it, perhaps.
That's an interesting take. I hadn't really thought of it from that angle. You know, I guess the thing that I came away feeling last night was essentially that WWE is to blame. They're endorsing this. They showed the beach ball on camera last night, one of them. We did see John Cena just kind of stop his match, play with the crowd, get into the wave. The whole beach ball thing he was up for, but we didn't see the promo after the match that you described. But, I mean, it's their top guy basically endorsing it. I preferred the night before when Cesaro went into the crowd and tore the thing to shreds and people were cheering him. I was hopeful that that was going to be enough that people would be like, yeah, that's not cool. But instead, it seemed like it had the opposite effect. And now that, you know, WWE just seems so consumed with making it seem like they're this fun company that when something like this happens, they'd rather kind of take it on as their own. And rather than basically, I don't know if they admit to themselves or not, but I see this largely as a product of you didn't give that fan base the show they were looking for. They became disinterested, and not every crowd is going to react like this one. But they had to know that when you give them two babyface versus babyface matches, this first one went fine, but the second one involved Jason Jordan, who at this point is one of the dullest babyface characters in modern-day WWE history. The fans are not going to handle this well. There was no reason for them to care, and so disinterest leads to things like this. That's my quick take on it, April.
Yeah, definitely. And I do agree. I do think that it came from, you know, the crowd getting a little, like, bored, I guess, and wanting to, like, do something fun. But it's also that mob mentality that, like, once it started, there was, like, no end in sight. And it continued throughout the tag team match, which I thought was really, really good and really, really fun. And it was, like, dream booking to see those two against the Hardys, and they were still throwing the beach ball around, you know?
Oh, they so were like, even during that, huh?
Even during that, and it was just, yeah, it was just, like, once it started, it never stopped for the whole second half of Raw.
Yes, I don't remember. I think I was getting updates from Don Murphy, thanks to him, a reader of ours, from the building. And he may have mentioned it at that point. I wonder if it happened during a commercial break or something, because it seemed like it was after that when I first started noticing that, yeah, these fans are completely distracted. So I guess a little surprised that it happened there. But even then, you know, watching that match, they did want it to, I think this was the idea, was, okay, it's the diehard fan base, the super fans. Let's give them four of their favorites, and it's the first time these teams have met. It's a dream match for them. But April, I guess one of the hard parts about that is there's no storyline there. There's mm-hmm. no titles on the line. And
yes.
the fans really just decided to react to the spots rather than choose sides. And I don't blame the fans for that.
No, you're right. Yeah, it was just a cool thing to see, but there were absolutely no stakes in that match whatsoever. But it was cool to see. I think what they're trying to do now, though, is like, you know, if you like something as a kid and then your dad starts to like it and then it becomes not cool, like, instantly. I think that's what the WWE is trying to do with the beach balls.
Sure, yeah. Well, that or all of a sudden they're going to start marketing WWE beach balls. I'm not sure where. I would hope they do. My Lord.
I would not be surprised.
Probably make a lot of money.
That's so true. I would not be surprised.
Nothing would surprise me with them and money. But, I mean, hopefully this isn't – I guess my fear is that because they showed it on television, now people are going to think it's acceptable. Like, that's part of the fun. It's like bringing a sign to Raw back in the day. And some still do. But, I mean, at one point, the Attitude Era, those signs were everywhere. And they're going to think, like, well, John Cena thinks it's fun. Why wouldn't you do it? I guess one positive in that, though, is that if they think it's acceptable, they're probably not going to try to hide the beach balls when they go to the show. They're just going to try to carry them right in.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if there is going to be a lot of beach balls on our TVs in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and if I were WWE, I'd take them outside after the show and sell them for a buck. There's how you profit from this, April.
Exactly.
What was the reaction to John Cena being introduced by Kurt Angle as kind of the mystery guy that they've been playing up online all afternoon?
Oh, uproarious booing from every corner of the arena.
What did you chalk up the booing to? Just because it's John Cena, or was there another reason?
No, I think it's just because it's John Cena. I think that this crowd was very, you know, a little, I don't know, to use the word, like, elitist, I guess. It was a bit of an elitist crowd who just doesn't like John Cena. But, you know, I think there's also a part of the crowd that was lovingly booing John Cena. Because, you know, even if you love John Cena, you still chant that he sucks when he comes out. It's just, like, part of the gig now, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was uproarious booing. And you got the great you both suck chant when Roman came out to challenge him, too.
Did you know he was going to be there?
John Cena?
Yeah.
I had a hunch, just from reading everything all day online.
Sure. I do wonder with that particular crowd, how much of it was, they're going to have fun and boo John Cena and sing along that John Cena sucks and all of that. But I couldn't help but wonder if this was a letdown for them. When they started hyping that Angle had a mystery person online, I didn't think it was John Cena because, well, he'd been advertised for the show, not on television, but certainly on the Barclays website, I think even WWE's live events page. And so I just kind of looked at it as it must be somebody else, and then we're getting Cena on top of it. This is a savvy crowd. You know, this is the super fan that attends the SummerSlam weekend. So in another market, I think it probably would have been okay to go ahead and have Cena be that surprise. In this market, I think a lot of people, many if not most of them, were just expecting John Cena was going to be there, and so they were hoping that, oh, we're getting Cena. We know he's going to be there, so it's not him. Is it Undertaker, or who is it? You know, I think that was part of the reason that John Cena's segment wasn't so well received.
Yeah, no, I definitely, there was kind of even like in the air before everything started, everyone kind of knew it was going to be Cena.
Okay.
And nobody was like too excited about it.
So maybe I read that wrong, because I really did. I really thought, okay, we know we're getting Cena. They must have something else up their sleeve. I thought maybe it was an NXT call-up. Was there a lot of grumbling about that from people that no call-ups on the show?
Yeah, there was grumblings of Bobby Roode coming up. I really wanted Ember Moon to come up because I was like, come on, the eclipse just happened. It's perfect timing. But I know that might be like a controversial opinion, but I think she would be great. But a lot of people speculated that Bobby Roode would come up, but I think more people think that he's going to be called up tonight on SmackDown, which makes sense.
That's been my guess, is that, you know, if AJ brings back the open challenge for the U.S. title, the Glorious Music hits, and could be tonight, could be in the future, but I was surprised we didn't have any NXT call-ups. And in fairness to WWE, it's not something they advertise. You know, tune in tonight to see NXT call-ups. So there was nothing like that. So they didn't fail to deliver something that was promised. But at the same time, April, I think a lot of fans have come to look at the night after Mania, the night after SummerSlam, and really the two nights after, as the likely place for things like that to happen. And so even though it wasn't advertised, I can understand the frustration that, hey, we thought we were getting some NXT call-ups, and now we're getting a normal Raw show.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a little disappointing. I even think that the WWE knew that it was going to be almost like a lateral kind of move to move John over. Like, it wasn't very exciting. They didn't try to hype it. They brought it out right in the beginning of the show, and it wasn't like this big promo that Kurt Angle cut. They were just kind of like, all right, well, here he is, you know, and he came out. And I was disappointed. I really wanted to see somebody get called up. I wanted to be there when it happened.
Yeah, and I think it's natural. You know, I mean, if they, whenever they don't have a Raw show coming here, I was going to say Minneapolis, but we're getting TLC. But, like, if you were going to Raw in 2 weeks, wherever the heck that is, you wouldn't assume, like, hey, there's probably going to be an NXT call-up. This is a little bit different, so I can understand, again, the frustration of the fans. How did the fans take to the first John Cena-Roman Reigns confrontation?
Oh, they hated it so much.
What a weird place to do that.
Yeah, it would be. It would work in other places, but like in this city with this crowd, very anti-Roman and very anti-Cena, and like to put them together, I kind of loved it just because I was like, oh my God, they are messing with us so much right now. But it was. It was one of the only times I felt like the audience was like unified in their hatred. So that was kind of nice.
It's at the stage for a fun Miz promo. But I guess the way I looked at the main event, I mean, okay, so the first scene of Reigns confrontation comes off feeling pretty flat because of, well, not flat, it just was different. I mean, it seemed like he was more concerned with playing to that crowd and making sure everyone knows that he's a fun-loving guy than really getting down to business with anything with Roman Reigns. But then you set up this, you have the Good Miz promo, Joe comes out, and, you know, let's face it, Joe and John Cena, that's something that people have been fantasy booking or daydreaming about for years. And they finally get it, and it's just very random. Like, Joe just wants to be Miz's partner for the night to face those two. And, I think that main event would have worked better had it not involved Miz. And I like Miz a lot, but he's a guy that they kind of script to win in fluky ways. He always needs help. And so it doesn't feel like a dream match to me when he's in there. Now, if you take Cena, Reigns against Joe and the right partner, I think that crowd may have been more engaged, but I don't know about you, April, but with Miz being involved, I just automatically thought, Miz is losing this match.
Yeah, no, I did too. And in all honesty, I hardly watched the match. I was watching security guards running around after beach balls the entire time. But it kind of felt to me like they were like, okay, we're going to do Roman, we're going to do Cena, and everyone's going to hate that. So, like, let's throw them a bone. Let's give them Joe. You know, like, that's what the randomness felt like. Like, I totally jumped out of my seat when he came out because I definitely wasn't expecting it at all. But, it kind of felt like they were trying to, like, throw us a bone because they knew that this crowd was going to hate it. And the whole thing felt really random and really, it was not like authentic or organic. And I don't really love like the premise of like, oh, we're going to have a feud because you were mean to me on Twitter, which was like kind of the whole Roman Cena thing.
Exactly.
There was no build
on TV.
Exactly. They didn't build it at all on TV. He just comes out and is like, hey, you've been talking about me on Twitter, which is like, are we like 13-year-olds? You know, like this doesn't seem like the basis for like what could be, I guess, an interesting feud if you actually did it right. But just to like throw all these guys in the ring for like the main event, it just kind of felt like a hodgepodge.
It did. And, you know, it's funny, that whole Twitter thing. It's like you expect your fan base to watch 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, whatever, you know, if it's a pay-per-view week like this week, and just an absurd amount. Now they're supposed to follow Twitter, too, and just random pages of the wrestlers to make sure they can keep up on everything. No, this is something, when it happens, should be acknowledged on the television show. If you're going to start a Twitter feud, that's fine, I guess, but make sure it's acknowledged on TV before last night. I guarantee you half that audience at home at least is sitting there going, what are they talking about? Now, you also mentioned, with Reigns and Cena being out there, you felt like WWE was messing with the crowd a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you think that they were well aware of the type of reaction they were going to get with the, maybe not as many beach balls, whatever, but do you think they intentionally foster some of this?
They gotta be. They gotta be aware. You know, it's like, it's no secret that this is, like, they get these reactions everywhere they go, and you got to know when you're coming to New York what kind of crowd that is, you know? And to put them both there at the same time, I don't think anybody was thinking, like, oh, they are going to cheer and love it, and they got to know that people are going to absolutely boo the hell out of it and just hate it, which they did. But it kind of, yeah. They gotta know. That's what I think. That's why I feel like they were kind of trolling us a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so baffling that okay, here's this big Cena Reigns thing, a match that I said, you know, you wrestle, and we, you know, all of a sudden this No Mercy card may end up being what I would have done at WrestleMania with the two big Raw matches. I would not have gone with Strowman and Lesnar until Mania, and then I also said I'd go with Reigns and Cena at Mania. Reigns and Cena now, it doesn't feel hot. It just was kind of there, I guess, is the issue that I have with what they did last night, choosing to do this in front of the crowd, in front of the Brooklyn crowd that was not going to be into whatever those guys did. Made for unique television. It was interesting to watch, but doesn't mean that it helped their program at all. Your thoughts on Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman? That was the way they opened the show. So things I thought, I felt like it really opened on a high note and was not all downhill from there, but I don't think they ever reached that same peak.
No, that was my favorite part of the show, hands down. Yeah, I thought that was the strongest part of the show. And, you know, it was interesting. I was talking about this with friends, how I'm not like a Brock Lesnar fan, really, but I get it now that I've finally seen him, like, with the belt live.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I get it. He, like, feels so important. He feels like a big deal, and he, like, has such, like, a crazy presence when he comes in. And I thought it was awesome. I love Braun Strowman so much. So it was, yeah, I could watch them wrestle all day. And I also thought that that was going to be a Mania match. But now I'm thinking, okay, so then it's going to be Brock Roman at Mania, I guess.
Probably.
But, yeah, I thought that was definitely the high point of the night for me.
And did you get a sense of which wrestler the crowd favored? I mean, it seemed like both guys were really over. Strowman got the offense, and the fans were certainly reacting. But just, was it hard to tell because it was so lopsided, or was there a definitive favorite between the two?
I don't think there was a definitive favorite. I think it's like a bit split between those people who have like been following Brock since forever and have like a loyalty to him, and he is like a legend and seeing him is exciting and they love him no matter what he does. And then the kind of people who they like Braun because you've seen him like come up so much in the last year. Like when I think about how he was being booked a year ago compared to now, it's kind of crazy. And so I think people feel an attachment toward him because they really want to see him do well and they want to see him succeed. And even though he's this huge monster who like squashes everybody, he is in a way an underdog because he's never had that title. So it's, or he's never had a title, right? Yeah.
Braun,
so it's, yeah. So it's kind of like exciting to watch someone who I think like who I see as a big deal and who I think will be a big deal in the company, you know? So it's kind of split. They both were totally over, though.
Yeah, just any other thoughts on the show? Maybe something that I haven't gotten to that you wanted to discuss before we call it a day?
No, I don't think so. I was a little disappointed that Sasha and Alexa didn't actually wrestle. That was, I guess, my only...
I love the way they turned that around, though, you know, because we've seen them make the mistake of having a babyface even announce something for the next week where you're just like, well, of course they're going to be booed. That crowd doesn't care what the next crowd's getting. They want to see it. Where at least this time it was Alexa who just said, you know, I'm not doing this in front of you Brooklyn fanboys. And so the heat came to her.
Oh, yeah. And it's really hard to put heat on Alexa. I know that she's a heel, and I think that she's a great heel. I love, like, her whole thing. She's, like, bratty and all that. But, like, people love her so, so much. So it's really hard to put heat on her. And I feel like she said the one thing that could get to this crowd. And it was perfect. It was really great. And it's weird to watch Sasha get booed because she gets booed a lot in New York, which I didn't really expect, I guess.
Is that a Boston thing? Because she's from Boston?
That's what I hear, yeah. That's what I hear.
And she did try to pander to the crowd as much as she could. Now, I haven't had a chance to go back and watch it. Did you catch what led to her bringing up Ric Flair? Was that pandering, or was that more of a natural transition, her reacting to something the fans said or chanting or something?
It wasn't anything from the fans. And I don't want to say she like brought it up because she was getting like booed and she knew that this would stop it. But she did kind of, like, bring it up kind of out of nowhere, which, and I thought it was nice. No matter why she brought it up, it is, like, a nice thing to say, you know?
Yeah, well, so. I guess the only issue I have with it is I think most people on the roster would love a moment to, you know, hey, you know, shout out to Ric Flair, whatever, given the circumstances, he means a lot to a lot of people. But with her, I need to watch it again. As I said, I don't want to come down too hard on her, but it did feel like, all right, let's use this to Sasha's advantage to try to win these people over. And that I'm a little uncomfortable with, if indeed that's the way it played out.
Yeah, I'd be interested to watch it back as well, because I haven't watched the episode. I've just, I have plans to see how it played out. It's very interesting how the cameras, like, guide your eye, and I wanted to see what I was missing being there live.
Right.
So I'm definitely going to watch that back. With
so now you only have 5 hours of wrestling to watch tonight.
That's it.
Yeah, nice, easy
not too
day.
Much.
Well, April, thank you so much. I'm happy we were finally able to do this. I look forward to doing this more. And why don't you tell people again where they can follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm a toothbrush.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I will be back tomorrow, most likely, with my full-on review of WWE SmackDown. Until then, take care.